Okay, I guess you have to start.
This is the Cloud Pop Podcast, your launchpad for Amazon Web Services.
Welcome to the Cloud and Out Podcast. This is our third episode, and my name is Andreas.
And my name is Michael.
Michael and I are brothers, and we focus 100% on AWS, which means everything we do is somehow related to building stuff on AWS. And every other week, one of us prepares a topic for this podcast, and the topic is not known to the other one. So this week, Michael prepared a topic, and I have no clue what we talk about. So that's the concept of our podcast. And before we start with the topic from this week, Michael, do you remember what we talked about last time?
Yes, I do, Andreas. So last episode, you talked about EC2 Instance Connect, which is a new way to connect to EC2 instances using SSH. And it provides a mechanism to basically distribute a temporary public key to the EC2 instance. So it gets easier to connect to an instance using SSH, and we discussed a little bit the benefits. We also discussed the drawbacks and the security implications. So if you're interested in kind of SSH and security and stuff, then I recommend to check out the last episode. I think it's now time to focus on this episode. I prepared a few insights into how the AWS Marketplace works. And to be more specific, we are going to look into how software as a service subscriptions work on the AWS Marketplace. I'm not sure if you know about the AWS Marketplace.
So I've seen the AWS Marketplace, and I've launched some EC2 instances based on images that are provided through the marketplace, but I'm not 100% into it. So maybe give me a short introduction.
So you already mentioned there is a way to sell AMIs in the AWS Marketplace. So that's basically the origin of the AWS Marketplace. So you can offer an AMI and attach a price tag to it. And so if a customer launches this AMI, then they pay for the EC2 instance, and they also pay for your AMI. Besides using AMIs, you can also use AMIs with CloudFormation in the AWS Marketplace, which provides you some benefits if you want to launch like a more complicated infrastructure than just an EC2 instance. And then we have also the ability to offer software as a service in the AWS Marketplace. And this is what we are focused on today. And then there is also a way to sell container images in the AWS Marketplace. And last but not least, you can sell machine learning algorithms in the marketplace. And they can be used, for example, with SageMaker.
Michael, what do we use the AWS Marketplace for? So what was the story that you came up with this topic?
So actually I was looking into Marketplace from two directions. So the first direction was that we are running this small software as a service called Marbot, which is a incident response software for AWS based on Slack. And we were not very satisfied with our payment provider, so we looked into other offerings, and we also found AWS Marketplace. And since all our customers are also AWS customers, it made a lot of sense for us to switch to AWS Marketplace, because it is much easier for our customers then. Because if you buy something in the AWS Marketplace, the cool thing is it just appears on your AWS bill. So you don't need to set up another connection and all the billing information and stuff like this. If you buy something, it simply appears on your AWS bill. So it's very convenient for customers if they're already using AWS to purchase your software, basically. And the other direction from which I am looking at the AWS Marketplace at the moment is that I am looking into a way to offer an AMI with a CloudFormation template in the AWS Marketplace at the moment. And we are still in the process of being approved. So we are testing at the moment. So I have a few insights from the software as a service perspective, and also from the AMI perspective. But today we only focus on the software as a service part.
Okay, so what do you say is the benefit of selling at the AWS Marketplace?
So I think it depends on if you are a seller or a customer. So for a seller, the biggest benefit is that you basically have no, you are not involved into the billing because AWS does this for you. So you just receive a monthly amount of money from AWS, and AWS collects everything, and they also provide the marketplace, which is basically a website, a directory where you can look for the products. So that's very convenient for the seller. And I think it's also very convenient for the customers because they don't have to manage yet another like connection to a service provider, because they can just purchase this and then they see it on their AWS bill. So it's easy for them to get an overview over all their expenses.
Yeah, not an additional invoice and no credit card required and so on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, you can also like trust that. I mean, if you provide your credit card data with AWS, I think it's a little bit different than if you provide it with a very small company. So there's a lot of, I mean, AWS is kind of trusted party here in this process. So you can benefit from this as a seller as well.
Okay. And so you switched using AWS Marketplace for our software as a service product, Marbot.io. So what are the outcomes of that? Do you have any numbers or any experiences?
So far, we see that it's easier for people to subscribe to the product. So which basically means that we increased our conversion rate a little bit. It's just because it's much easier for our customers to subscribe. We don't know yet how the unsubscribe work because we don't use it. I think we started in June this year, so we don't really know if we also decreased our unsubscribe rate. So that's something that we will see in, I think, a year or so, yeah.
Okay, great. So it sounds very interesting. So for all who are building software as a service products, that might be a good option. So, but what are the requirements of selling a software as a service product in the AWS Marketplace? How do you start?
Yeah, so let me go into something else before we go into the requirements. So because there are actually two kinds of software as a service offerings that you can make in the marketplace. And the first one is the so-called pay-per-use offering, which means you basically bill based on some dimensions of usage. For example, in our case with Marbot, we bill based on user hours. So depending on how many users are using the product, we charge the customer. But you can also use a so-called software as a service contract. And this gives you a fixed amount of usage for a fixed amount of money. So for example, you can say it costs $29 a month. And for this, you get up to 25 users or something like this. And you can also have yearly contracts and things like this. So these are the two options that you have, pay-per-use and contracts. And we are going to focus on pay-per-use only here. Okay, so now we talk about the requirements. So requirements for selling something in the AWS Marketplace. The first is not really a requirement, this is a recommendation. And the recommendation is that you create a new AWS account, very likely in your AWS organization. And this is then your so-called marketplace account. So you don't run a lot of things in this account, but the connection to the marketplace is created in this account. And then with this new AWS account, you register as a marketplace seller. And depending on where you are based, this is more or less complicated. So we are based in outside of the US, so in Germany. And the requirement to register as a marketplace seller is that you have a US bank account. So it's not as easy for us to get a US bank account. So that's why AWS integrates with a service called Hyperwallet. And Hyperwallet is kind of a service that offers US bank accounts for users in the, for example, from Europe. I'm not sure how this works if you are, for example, based in Asia or in other regions of the world. I'm not sure if Hyperwallet helps you in this case. So I haven't looked into this, but this could be a problem. So you should check this out. Okay, so once you are registered, you can create your product. And for a SaaS product, this is fully a web-based process. So there's a so-called marketplace management portal. It's integrated into the AWS management console. And within this web-based tool, you can create your product. And then AWS will review the information and you get a product code and you get a SNS topic from AWS. So those are the basically the two things that are created here in this process. And AWS also needs information from you. So this is kind of a chicken egg problem. So because a lot of information is required before the process, and then but you have to depend on some information that you get from AWS. So this is kind of a multi-step process. But in the end, you get a kind of test environment where you can implement everything that is needed and see if it works. And you can whitelist some AWS accounts, and these AWS accounts can then subscribe to the product in the testing area, and you can make sure that everything works as expected. And last but not least, you need an AWS account. And this is not a requirement, it's again a recommendation. A second AWS account, and in this account, you run your SaaS application. So you have a strict separation between the account where the marketplace connection is made, and then you have a separate account where the actual software runs. So this is kind of the recommended approach here. So that's what is required. And then, of course, you need some software that you can offer as a service.
Okay, that makes sense. So you mentioned the requirements, but then how do I implement that? How do I integrate it into my software as a service product?
So when you think about integrating AWS Marketplace, you basically have to integrate three different flows. So the first flow is a new customer subscribes. Then the second flow is you have to send the usage data to AWS Marketplace. And the third flow is to deal with unsubscribes. The tricky part here is that there are basically four parties involved in all those flows. The first party is the customer. Then we have AWS. Then we have your marketplace account, and then we have your SaaS account. So those are the four parties that kind of interact with each other. And I think it makes sense to go into the details a little bit here and to talk about each flow in more detail. What do you think?
Yeah, okay. So first things first, I would say. So how does the subscribe flow work? So how do we onboard a new customer?
Yes. Okay, so the subscribe is basically the most complex process or flow. All the others are shorter. So it all starts with a AWS customer browsing the AWS marketplace, discovering your product, then deciding that he or she wants to subscribe to your product. So he or she clicks the subscribe button. So that's kind of where the process starts. And this happens on the AWS marketplace website. I guess AWS checks a few things with billing and stuff like this, but once AWS confirms that the subscription could work, they make an HTTP post request to your website. And they send a little token together with to your website. And your job is then to extract this token from the post request and validate it using the AWS Marketplace metering API. And now it gets a little bit tricky because the only AWS account that can talk to the Marketplace API is your so-called Marketplace account. But your SaaS application runs in your SaaS AWS account. So you cannot make the API call directly from your SaaS account. So what is needed here is you need to create a IAM role in your Marketplace account. And this IAM role needs to trust your SaaS account. And the IAM role in the Marketplace account needs the permissions to call or invoke the Marketplace metering API. So what happens in your SaaS account is you receive the post request, you extract the token, you assume the IAM role in the Marketplace account, and then you make the call to the Marketplace metering API and validate the token. And if this, if the token is valid, AWS sends a message, a so-called subscribe success message, to the SNS topic that AWS created for you in their own AWS account. So this is not your Marketplace account, not your SaaS account, it's a different account. It's owned by AWS. It has a account ID, so it looks like a normal AWS account, not sure how it works, but they own the SNS topic. And in your Marketplace account, you can create a subscription to this topic. So this topic allows subscriptions from your Marketplace account. And to finally get the message, usually you create an SQS queue in your SaaS account and you create the subscription in your Marketplace account. And then you can connect the dots and finally you receive the subscribe success message in your SQS queue in your SaaS account.
Okay, so let me try to summarize that because it sounds a little bit complicated at first. So first of all, the customer subscribes at the AWS Marketplace. This causes an HTTP post request to our SaaS product in our SaaS account. Then we validate the token that we get from this HTTP post request. We need to assume a role in the Marketplace account to be able to do so. And with this validation call to the Marketplace API, we also trigger a message that AWS sends over the SNS topic to our SNS subscription, which forwards it to our SQS queue, which then finally results in a message that says, hey, the customer has actually subscribed successfully to our SFTA as a service product. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly how it works. The interesting piece here is that as soon as you receive the subscribe success message from AWS, you can start send usage data to AWS. So you cannot send this earlier than the message. So that's kind of the importance of the message. Besides that, I don't know what the other implications are, but you cannot report usage before you receive the subscribe success message for the customer.
So typically, I assume the subscribe success message follows immediately after I call the Marketplace Metering API, but it doesn't have to, or are there any information and documentation about that?
So I'm not sure. So from what we see in the logs, it usually, the message comes within a very timely manner, within a few seconds. But I don't know, so there is... I don't think that there's anything mentioned in the documentation, and I don't think that there's any guarantee how long it takes the message to receive. But it's kind of an asynchronous process, so I think you have to take into account that it takes some time. And you just make sure that you don't start reporting usage data before you receive the message. Otherwise, you will get errors when you call the API. I mean, that's not a big deal. You can then handle the error and just skip it. But for like the ideal implementation, would kind of... stored the information that you can now report usage in your database and only report for those customers. Yeah.
Okay. I think I understood the subscription workflow now. Okay, fine. So after a customer subscribed to our product, so how do we actually bill the customer? How do we send report data, usage data to AWS?
Yes. So, and that's one of the most important flows for the seller, because if you don't report usage, then the customer is not billed. So that's in the responsibility of the seller. So if you get this wrong, then the customer is not billed. So that's your problem.
Or even worse, if you send incorrect reports, then AWS will bill it for incorrect usage. Okay.
Yes, I think that's really something that you should get right. So how does it work? Every hour you have to report usage. So in our case, we have a Lambda function that is triggered by CloudWatch events that runs every hour. And again, before you can report usage, because we are in the SaaS account here. So the Lambda function runs in the SaaS account, and we have to make a call to the Marketplace Metering API. And that's not possible because of permissions. So what we do is we again assume the I'm role in the Marketplace account. And then from this account, from this role, we can then invoke the Marketplace Metering API. And then we basically just send for each dimension that we defined in our product. So if we take the Marbot example here, again, the user hours. So we report how many users use the product in the last hour. And we send this as a dimension to the API. But you could also, if you have multiple dimensions, for example, if your product, for whatever reasons, you think you should build based on users, based on storage that was used, and then you have to report two dimensions, for example. So you can have multiple dimensions that you use for billing, which is also like for many AWS services, it's not only a single dimension. There are, for example, maybe DynamoDB, you pay for storage, and you also pay for per request in the on-demand mode. So those are two dimensions, and you can define multiple dimensions that you bill for. But that's basically the whole flow. So you every hour you send metering data to AWS, and you do this by assuming the role in the marketplace before, to be allowed to invoke the AWS API.
But that sounds very simple compared to the subscription workflow.
Yes, it is. Okay, last but not least, at any time a customer can unsubscribe. So that's kind of an unhappy event, but it happens. This works basically in a similar way than the subscribe. So the customer goes to the AWS Management Console, and you can search for Marketplace, and then you get all your active subscriptions. And if you click on an active subscription, you can cancel it. And what happens when the customer clicks on cancel is that you get, or AWS publishes, a so-called unsubscribe pending message to the SNS topic. And because of the subscription, it is forwarded to your SQS queue. An unsubscribe pending means that this customer unsubscribed, but you can still report usage. And this is because, so let's assume it is 3:30 and the customer clicks on unsubscribe. And now the customer used your product for 30 minutes. So for the whole hour, you can still report usage while the subscription is pending, also unsubscribe pending. You can still report usage. And then after 1 hour, you get the unsubscribe success message on the SNS topic. And then you cannot report usage anymore. And then you can really disable the customer. Those are the two messages that you receive in the case of an unsubscribe.
Okay, so the customer goes to the management console, clicks unsubscribe, and then we get two messages, unsubscribe pending, and after a few while, unsubscribe success. Then we finally delete the customer from our database.
Yes, and what we see from our logs is that those two messages are more or less exactly 1 hour. So there's a delay of 1 hour between the two messages. So once you receive unsubscribe pending, more or less 1 hour later, you receive the unsubscribe success message. But this is just what we see from the logs. It's not documented or guaranteed or something. But the key point here is that between pending and success, unsubscribe pending and unsubscribe success, you can report usage data, and you should do this. And after the unsubscribe success, stop reporting usage.
Okay. So you explained the subscribe process, the report usage process, and also the unsubscribe process. Where can I find code examples? So if I want to implement that, where do I get examples?
This was also kind of my problem when I started with Marketplace SaaS subscriptions. So we added a link to the show notes, and there's a link to the blog post, and we added CloudFormation templates that set up the IAM role stuff, that set up the SNS subscription, SQS topic, and all that stuff that you need to make the initial setup work. And we also have code examples in Node.js for validating the token, reporting usage, and all this stuff that you have to do. So definitely check out the code if you're interested in implementing it, because it takes some time to get it right. A shout out to Thorsten, and I think we will add his Twitter handle to the show notes as well. Then you can find him, because he implemented Marketplace SaaS subscription before me. And I was using his kind of knowledge about the different message types that are sent on the SNS topic, because they are kind of, I mean, the types are documented, but the payload is not really documented. So I used his knowledge to avoid a lot of trial and error. So that was very helpful.
Very good. Okay, so maybe to make that clear, we have a blog post that follows every episode of this podcast, and so you're linking that to get the code examples and all the details as well. Okay, so then maybe to summarize the AWS Marketplace to sell a software as a service product, what do you have to say? So what's the process? What's your summary?
So I think it's sort of like the big kind of summary is, it is quite easy to sell your stuff in the marketplace. So you have to implement the three flows that we talked about, and you have to register your product, and that's basically it. So I think that's really a good way. And if you are thinking about starting a small side business, like offering AWS tools or something like this, I can highly recommend you to use it. because it's really easy. There's no so for many payment providers there are like upfront fees or stuff like this, and this is all not in AWS Marketplace. It's just a percentage that goes to AWS, and the rest is yours. And it's really easy to get started. So I can highly recommend it. But there are a few things kind of let me put it like this: a few points of critique that you have to take into account as well. The AWS Marketplace operates from the United States, and it's always paid in US dollars via credit card. So this may not surprise you if you're from the US, but for customers, for example, in Europe, they usually pay in euros, and they usually pay via direct debit. And all the charges that are generated in the AWS Marketplace are still, you still have to add a credit card to your AWS account. And the marketplace is charged in US dollars on your credit card and not on the usual payment configuration that you use for the rest of AWS. So that's kind of a surprise. And the second point is that it's not, I think it's kind of unclear how the sales tax actually works. And we are not quite sure if it's like in, for example, Apple's App Store or not. So that's something that we have not yet fully understood how it works.
Thanks a lot for preparing this topic. It was very interesting for me. And so before we close this episode, I want to thanks a lot for the feedback that we have received since our last episode. And I just want to read a few examples of the feedback that we received via Twitter, for example, and also highly ask you to provide us feedback for this podcast. Which topics are you interested in? Is it easy for you to subscribe to our podcast? Any feedback is highly highly appreciated. So for example, Joker has written in and he said, a very good start for a technical podcast, simple idea executed well. One of the presenter will come up with a topic without the other presenter knowing, and then they discuss. It's about services in AWS. So this was a very very nice comment. Thanks a lot, Joker, for your feedback. And then Pavel is writing in. I've just started listening a new podcast regarding AWS. Although there are just two episodes so far, the authors Andreas and Michael provide really interesting content. So thanks a lot for that feedback as well. And one more, Theo is writing in. Great second podcast episode. From Andreas and Michael about EC2 Instance Connect. Personally, I like to use Amazon Linux too, but such defaults are questionable from a security point of view. So thanks a lot for your feedback as well. And we are looking forward to hearing from you.
Yes, so thanks for your feedback as well from me. It's always interesting for us to read how people like the podcast. So I think it's time to finish here, Andreas. Thanks for listening and see you next time.
Yes, bye.